Air Mobile.
It's KO4PXB. Go ahead, sir.
KO4PXB. Let me turn my radio down in the background here. This is N0TR. My name's Tom. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. This is Lloyd. I spoke to you yesterday morning, too.
Good morning, Lloyd. Good to hear you. I've been so mixed up lately and my head's not right with the wife in the hospital that I'm forgetting everything, Lloyd. I'm heading down there and hopefully she'll get sprung today. That's the plan of the day. She's doing just great.
I'm glad to hear that. You know, I was wanting to hear a report. I'm glad the report's definitely well that you know, she's doing better and hopefully going to get out today.
This has gained some of her eyesight back in that eye, and they didn't have any hope for it at the eye doctors. And, we can just hope and pray for the best. And she's already seen three doctors this morning. I'm running later than usual. I've been going a lot earlier, but she said take my time because they probably wouldn't release her till this afternoon, but I don't care as long as I get her back, Lloyd. You know how that is.
Sure, I do. Like I said, most people, you know, definitely to get released from the hospital with a family member like that, they can definitely wait all day as long as that family member is back home where they should be.
Can't fathom the number of people down there, Lloyd. It's just unimaginable how many people's in that hospital. And how good, so far, they've run it. I can't say enough. But we're blessed. Well, what's your plan of the day, as we used to say in the good old Navy? That's ours, and I'm just going to hang out until they release her.
Yep, I'm going to start work around 8 o'clock until about 4:30, and then I've got the my military drill over the weekend, so that'll pretty much keep me busy with you know, doing training over the weekend, so that's definitely going to be my weekend.
Bless you there, Lloyd. What are you in, the National Guard or the Army Reserve?
I retired in 2007, but I'm with the South Carolina State Guard. You know, that way I keep, you know, I guess doing some military functions because the South Carolina State Guard, we only deploy to disasters in South Carolina. So that way there's no combat missions or anything like that. It's technically going to be life-threatening. Like I said, we react to our tornadoes and hurricanes, and we also, you know, do a search and rescue information on stuff like that. That's pretty much the mission for the State Guard.
Sounds wonderful. And what do you do for a job, Lloyd? What's your talents there?
I'm an IT server manager for Spartanburg County local government.
I remember that now, by golly. Memory's coming back, Lloyd. Oh, that's amazing. I got a friend up in Kansas and went all through that when our plant shut down, and we'd been there quite a number of years. And then he went back and working in a plastics factory, and he seems just very contented. And in his spare time, he does HVAC work and is very good at it, I might add. But I was hoping he'd go into something easier like IT, and he doesn't do that out there. He still works on maintenance like we did at the wheel factory. I met him at Superior Wheels, where we made 55,000 to 80,000 wheels a month.
There's definitely a lot of wheels, like I said. Yeah, the IT realm can be easy at some point in time, and then when everything just goes, you know, horribly wrong, and that's when you have to really be able to know what you're doing and how to fix it and to stay calm, because there's going to be people, you know, the user and bosses alike, standing on you going, is it fixed? Is it fixed? Is it fixed? That's pretty much, I would think, the in any place it works at when something goes wrong and or they, you know, somebody wants something done quickly.
Well, my second job out of the service when I was real young was at a large machine shop, and I worked there 32 years, and I was the head electrician there and lead man, and they wouldn't make me a boss because nobody else knew how to fix the machines, and there was only two of us in 300,000 square feet of machine tools and welders and all that. They moved a structural shop up there. So I know what you're talking about. You have to maintain a rapport with the people around you and be a politician as well as, or an HR person as well as a technician. And it's hard to concentrate when you got that on your back and there's a job setting on the machine and it's ready to go. I pity those two guys that screwed up. Where was that at? Southwest Airlines the other day? Somebody, it was the FAA computers for all of the airlines in the United States went down, and they said it was human error, and that probably was an IT guy, and oh, wow, that would have been embarrassing.
Certainly would be, and that's situations like that is when you just go ahead and put your keys and ID on the desk and grab a couple of boxes to clear out your desk.
Same thing, but all of us are human. But in a situation like that where you shut down all the all the airlines in the United States, well, maybe he shouldn't have had his finger on the button. Who knows? But I've seen some mighty strange things happen where a guy throws a wrong switch or pushes a wrong button or leaves a switch in the wrong position, and actually the machine's fine, but the operator has fouled up the works. But, you know, Lloyd, it's interesting and it's exciting because every day when you go into work, it's different. It changes, whereas the machinists and the people doing the production work. Now, the machinists had a lot of different jobs because we were a job shop. But once they get set up and run a lot of parts, I would have been bored to death, I think, after a while. I'd rather have something different coming my way.
Yeah, that's why I'm glad I've never worked on an assembly line, because standing there doing that montane, monotonous thing all day long would definitely get beyond boring to me.
I was at a plant where we had a very, very large maintenance team, and I really wasn't used to that, but we had an efficiency expert come in after I'd been there a year, and he said we were too heavy in maintenance. So, in my opinion, their way of driving us out was, or calling out people, was to make them do production work. And it was in a printing factory up in Joplin, Missouri. So what they did was, when we'd come in at night, that's when I was working then, when we'd come in to work our 12 hours, if somebody in the production line, and quite a few of them did call in from sickness or too much marijuana or something, or beer, if they'd call in sick, you had to go take their place on the line. And it gives you a great appreciation of what those people do. Oh, gosh. They like to work me to death there in 12 hours.
Definitely would be difficult, and it's definitely a good thing to know different levels of jobs like that so you can fill in. Like I said, it doesn't make it any easier on anybody else. So.
Messenger LTR. Yes, and I found that, well, in one place where we was making Ritz cracker boxes, we made Breyers ice cream and Ritz crackers and Kellogg stuff, and these were coming off at about $12,000 an hour, and there were certain people on that line that were a little bit slow, shall we say, but they were excellent at their jobs. And, buddy, if you didn't stay up with them and stay exactly what their routine was, they were not happy with you. I had a guy almost run over me with a pallet jack because he got mad at me for not being fast enough. And, Jiminy, you know, you might go over there and never been on that line before, and you're expected to learn what their robotic movements were in just a matter of no time, which was pretty hard.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like it. I mean, definitely a difficult situation to have to deal with, and diplomacy would have to be top priority on that one. Just maintain your calmness and not get angry.
And when they seen that I wasn't going to bluff, they offered me a buyout, so I went ahead and took it. I wanted to get the heck out of Dodge. Shoot. I don't know. But then I went to work at a wheel factory next, and I was there 4 years, and the automobile industry went to pot back then, and when it did, they shut it down, laid off 900 people, and moved the plant to Mexico.
That was definitely harsh. Like I said, I'm just glad things are slowly turning back around.
GLTR. Yeah, I'm very skeptical about that because they're counting numbers that really are not factual. And the sad part is that they're still laying off, like Microsoft laid off, I forget how many thousands of employees yesterday, 10,000, 11,000. And these other big companies, lots of layoffs, you know, lots of company shutdowns. So you don't know what's happening out there, Lloyd, from what the news media tells you. I think it's getting to be more like Russia every day.
Yep. And if there was, I guess, really a news pipeline that actually could truly, people in the world could see what's really going on throughout the day instead of what, or throughout, you know, pretty much whenever, that is what's really going on instead of what the news and the media wants you to see, we'd be terrified.
Yep, I believe you're on the right track, Lloyd. Lloyd, I'm going down here in the shadow of Paris Mountain, so I'm going to sign out, and I got a lot of traffic. And being 47 years old and dyslexic here, I don't like traffic. When you get to be 74 years old, I can do it, and I don't feel uncomfortable, but I like to keep my Mark II eyeball focused on it, as we said in the military, huh? Hey, the pleasure's all mine. I really enjoyed it. Thanks for riding along with me, and I'll probably get back on after I get to the other side of this dead spot. This is N0TR. Be clear with your final line.
Yes, sir. Have a great day. It's KO4PXB.
N0TR, W4NGU.
Listen to something that says, let the sun shine in, and there he is. Good morning, Phil, in the OTR.
Did you have a good night?
Sure. A little while ago, I was eating a bowl of cereal and drinking a cup of coffee, which I haven't got to do in a long time, and she'd already seen three doctors that were in on the surgery, and she's doing fine. She said, I don't expect to get released till this afternoon, but we'll take it, Phil.
Doesn't expect to be released until the afternoon, so it should probably be today.
Well, yes, they're implying that, and the surgeon said that yesterday, if everything goes all right, and so far it has. They were still, you know, doing things with her last night, and checking her very closely, but that's the plan of the day, is to get her out of there today.
good. Well, don't rush out of there. Don't rush out of there. She wants to spend another night, you know. Safety's a big thing, and they can check her out real good. Tom, that means I'm not going to get by there because I've got to work till noon. I've got to go to a bank I've got an appointment with to close one of Daddy's accounts. That's kind of a big deal. Long story there. Then I've got a dentist appointment at 2:30. Then I've got an appointment at another bank to close a safe deposit box. Then I have to go home to my mom's house to spell my sister, who's been on duty since Sunday night and about to climb the walls. So, love to, Tom, but I'm just not going to make it today.
You're just going to have to get your priorities right, Phil. Jiminy, we don't expect that, Phil. Your support, your prayers, and all that was just overwhelming, and we appreciate you deeply, and someday when you're out and about and Bernice is back in her cooking phases, you just stop by anytime, and I can relate to what you're saying, only in a smaller fashion, just running back and forth to the hospital, and you've been through that, we all have. Usually I was the one in the hospital, though, and it really opens your eyes, Phil. It's a job. Go ahead.
Being the caregiver can wear you out. Anybody who's never done it doesn't realize the gravity of that statement.
And you do with without a lot of things that you're used to every day. But God bless her. We're just really happy, and she's gained some of her vision back, and that's the biggest blessing. Thank the good Lord. And so we're hoping that continues. But we'll make it one way or the other. And just thrilled to death about it. My older daughter went back to Michigan last night. And she got in there about 9:30 or so. And she's very happy to be home. She's got some students, three students that are going to the state band. And she wanted to be able to travel up there today and be with them if she could. And so that worked out all right. She got out of here about 3 o'clock yesterday, I guess. And it was a real surprise that she even come down, Phil.
Nice. Did she fly down on Delta?
All this happened suddenly, and she just grabbed the ticket, and her husband just had his knee replaced, and he took her to the airport, and got to get through that orange light there, and at about 8 o'clock at night, and she got in here pretty late, but there was a straight-through flight she caught. Going back, she had to go through Atlanta with about a two-hour layover, and so that wasn't too bad at all. She got home a little after 9 last night.
What's your take on this American Airlines? Were they just playing on their phones?
Well, what's going on?
A Delta flight was doing the right thing, and they stopped when the tower told them to, but they came within 1,000 feet of hitting an American Airlines that just crossed right in front of them.
Unfortunately, that happens at times. I don't know. I hadn't heard that. And hope it wasn't my nephew. He flies 787. But he flies internationally. Where did this happen at?
You know, I don't remember.
High left. I used to run those all the time up to 60 feet. And these things they got down here on the courthouse and around town here. I don't know how high they go, and they ran into a high voltage line there yesterday, knocked out about 80,000 people, and one guy got burnt, and the other guy jumped out of the basket, and the tires were on fire sitting there on the street. Whenever I went up high, I watched those power lines.
Kind of crazy. That seems like it would have been preventable. But somebody always thinks they can do something, and and get away with it, and I guess I have a relative that just retired from Delta after 35 years. and loved every minute of it. But he was training a new young lady. Said she looked like a teenager, but of course she wasn't, and had gotten her license, and they put her as co-pilot. And on the very first flight, they were sitting there, and she was playing on her phone, and he said, "I need you to put up your phone," and she did. And then they taxied around where they were supposed to take off, and she was back on her phone. You know, I'd have been scared as a cat on my first flight. And he called the tower, and he said, permission to return to the tower. I need a new co-pilot. And he put her out, and she got fired.
Well deserved. Yeah. My nephew, he's as straight arrow as there can be. He gets back home, he rides his bicycle 50 miles a day while he's home, and stuff like that, and very, very responsible. He wouldn't put up with that for a minute, and you just can't do that. My God, you know, when I was in the smaller carrier plane, we had to wear full helmets all the time, Phil, whereas the big plane we didn't. But so I was privy to all of the air traffic control then. In fact, I could run the radios if need be, but I never had to from the back. And as fast as those people talk, and all the different signage on the runways and that you have to pay attention to, it's just amazing. And think that anyone would even touch a cell phone needs their head examined.
Steve.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Interrupt me right now, Tom Steve. Just want to say hello, and sounds like Bernice is doing better, and hopefully they're going to spring her today. Is that what I understand, Tom?
And Phil and Jerry, I'm getting ready to turn here at the Spink Station in the Wendy's to go over to the hospital. It's only a couple of blocks, so lots of traffic. I better let you all go. And great to hear you, Phil. Thanks for everything. And Jerry, I look forward to talking to you if I can get her out of there today. This is N0TR73.
We're thinking about her. Phil, how you doing?
Pretty good. You're still doing any satellite work?
These are good. I've just been doing some APRS stuff, but this time of year, the passes over my location aren't that great. It's usually better around April, May. Can I take spells? Is it just my location? But, it's been awful busy, though. When I've listed on the few times I listed on Voice, it's just packed. You got a lot of new guys on there. And other than that, everything's going fine. They're running both they're running both the packet and the Voice at the same time now.
What was that last sentence? They can do Voice and packet at the same frequencies?
Out of the packet at 145.825 up and down. But before, they only had one radio, and they had one radio dedicated to it, and they swapped from packet mode, APRS packet mode, to Voice with a 440 downlink. It's got a 2-meter uplink, 440 downlink, and now they got two separate radios. They've got one that's running the Voice all the time, a Voice repeater all the time, and they got another packet one running all the time too. The packet one is pretty easy to get into, but 5 watts. But again, you know, you still need a directional antenna to be able to do it. It's got a good signal, but to get into it, unless it's in the middle of the night, you got to have 5 watts to be able to get into it pretty solid and get yourself digipeded through a gateway.
Does it use too high power and blank everybody out occasionally?
Used to be what's going on. A lot of these guys are running egg beaters or verticals, and they're running 50 watts or so, 100 watts or so. And it's just like capturing a repeater. And a lot of people are not running. You need to run two radios or have a full duplex radio to get to do it right, and they don't have a full duplex radio, so they can't hear themselves on the downlink, so they're just blindly calling. It's still it's still a mess, as it's always been. It seems like it's been, the last year, it's been worse, worse than it was a few years back, because a lot of people are just not using, not getting the setups right.
Fascination with that, it started appearing in the ham magazines back in the 70s, and never have gotten around to doing that, but, you know, and then I hear stories it's a mess, so I don't know, but it's very interesting to me anyway.
And Bill, this only applies to the FM satellites. The, as I said, the ISS packet part of it is pretty simple. You know, you can exchange messages via packet, but you got to have your radio. Yeah, it sounds like a Kenwood, D-74, D-72, or Jesus packet, the APRS, is not really, it's a little hard to deal with. It's not, doesn't have a full access TNC. It's a little hard to manipulate through the menus to get them to operate well. And, of course, the ICOM doesn't have anything on packet, so ICOM does a good job with the voice birds because most of their mobile, dual band mobiles are full duplex. But the real serious guys go on the linear birds, which are up and lower sideband. You know, it goes up upper sideband, comes back lower sideband, but you actually have a bandwidth. You know, so you can move around on the bandwidth of the satellite frequencies, and it's just constantly tuning, just like you would for a normal single sideband. And some people use CW on those, but you've got a kind of a, it's not just one frequency with them. So you can find a quiet spot on one of the linear birds and talk, you know, to people in Europe and, you know, all over, because they're much higher in the sky than the normal FM satellites are.
Well, they have that kind of maximum range. I thought it was just a few hundred miles. I guess those are the low birds.
FM ones are like that. You know, there's a, you know, one geostationary is kind of over Europe and the Middle East. It's it takes, but I think it's either 1.2 gigahertz up or down. It's a little harder to get on that because you got to have a little more specialized equipment. But it's the only geostationary amateur satellite, but it stays fairly busy. But I don't remember now if that's a linear type or not. But all the FM, like the ISS, the SatChat, and some of the other ones, the AO 27 is still operational after all these years, and I've worked as far as Arizona on that one from here. But that's just because it's a little bit different setup, and you just gotta. It's only active during daylight passes. When it's in the day, during sunlight, when it's under sunlight, and they only turn it on for 3 minutes at a time. But the other ones, RS-44, especially, is real active, and it's pretty easy to hear. You can hear it on if you got a sideband 2 meter 440 rig. You can hear it on a vertical, but, you know, as far as having a solid signal up into it, you know, you need to have a directional antenna, need to have something to either handheld track it, or either have some type of tracking, rotor with azimuth elevation type deal. And that's the complexity and the expense of those. But that is, I mean, you know, those guys, there are a lot of people out there, they work DXCC on RS-44.
Sky something is the name of an app I've got on an iPad, and man, I can track all the satellites and just watch them go through the sky, and it's got all the specs on them, and that's fun, but of course you can't go through them. But sometime you got some time, if you'd be willing, I'd love to have a little demo, and I believe that would be enough to touch me off.
It's basically, you need a too inexpensive for FM, get too expensive radios and run them into an air, one of those handheld air Yagis, dual band Yagis, or either get a full duplex like some of the older ICOM handhelds. And the D-72 Kenwood is probably the best of the bunch. They've been discontinued. Those things bring pretty high price, but it does the APRS part of it and is full duplex. But again, they're so busy right now, Bill. It's just really frustrating for most people, because it's really not that. It's not hard to get into. It's just you got to be vigilant about working it. And I'm pretty much indisposed now. I can't get out much. We've got some health issues I got to get resolved hopefully in the next few weeks. But it's interesting. And it's but on a lot of these. Let me let this thing drop. On the SO-50, which is a Saudi sat, and the other ones, like the ISS, after about a month or so, you hear the same guys on them over and over and over again. You hear the same call signs, nothing new. But on the linear birds, which I'm not equipped for now, that's a whole different story. You don't hear, you hear a lot of, European stations on there and Soviets and, just all over with it because it's a much higher orbit. But it's also it adds a layer of complexity that I'm not able to handle with what I've got. You have to be able to track the uplink and the downlink on Doppler on those, which means you got to have something like a ICOM. The 9700 is the only thing they're currently making that'll do that sort of thing, and it will track it and do the correct. Reverse downlinks and that sort of thing, but just like I said, you're talking about most of these guys. You're talking about several thousand dollars in equipment for those to get them to do them right. Anyway,
100 do full duplex.
And it doesn't. It will actually track on its own. It doesn't. It's got an auto tracking, which you don't. It can be computer controlled too, Bill. But it's a. It's set up. For full duplex, it's tri-band, which means it'll go into 1.2 as well, and it's probably the best thing out there right now. Some of the guys complain about the frequency drift on it, but it's only a much higher the 1.2 part of the band. Excuse me, may drift a little bit, but that's for the weak signal guys. And it's 100 watts. I mean, you can turn it up or down as you need it. But it's got a lot of stuff built in that the other radios don't have, and it really simplifies it for the Doppler, because if you use that as a satellite, what it's doing is it's listening for the signal, and it knows which way to go. You set it for which way to go on the uplink and downlink, and it'll just track it in tenths of a hertz across the sky, and so you got a full signal path. The only issue with that on FM. Is that a lot of guys are using handheld or mobile radios that don't have, they can only go down to 5 KC, so they can't really, they have to go in steps instead of, linear across the band. But that's by far the best setup. And again, those things are like $1,700 now, but that's a radio. It does everything. Except APRS, it won't do that, but that's not a big deal. But it's a great radio. I had one at one time, but it was just too much radio, and I didn't have the space or the inclination to set up the correct antennas with all the tracking. And like I said, you're talking, you can buy the stuff. A lot of guys get tired of selling it all pretty cheap, but you need to have a good location. If you can get horizon coverage, either have it up on a tower high enough when you can do it. And it does that auto tracking and the antenna's tracking and the thing is the radio's tracking, it's just a joy to operate when you got that kind of setup.
Well, that's distressing to know in this digital world if the thing drifts.
The other interesting thing, too, is that AO-27, which is it's been up there for years. It actually is. When it was set up, it was actually set up as an analog digital satellite, and it has. You can actually operate, which I've done. Operate through D-Star on that. Not a lot of people do it, but there's a guy in Arizona I've had a couple of cases with on D-Star when I have a 9700. And it actually will do D-Star or analog.
Well, I'm pulling into the office, Jerry. Good to hear from you. I hadn't talked with you in a long time. But you have a good day, and we'll talk to you a little bit further down the log. 4WD, never give up.
today. Good talking to you. I heard you on, but I haven't been able to catch you. Have a good day. Enjoy talking with you again. N4DJC, clear.